Perek Kuf Dalet Pasuk Aleph. It says, Avraham Zakan Zaken Vabiyamim, that Avram get old, Vashem Berachat Avram Bakol, and Avram was blessed in every conceivable way. You can take a look at the various traditions and how they explain what Bakol may mean. Vayom Avraham El Avdo Zakan Beito Hamoshel Bakol Asherlo Simne Adcha Tachit Yerechi Vashbiacha Bashem Elo Hei Hashemayim Velo Hei Haaretz Asher Lo Tikach Isha Levni Mibnot HaKnaani Asher Anochi Yoshev Bikirbo. So at first, the specific consideration is that, well, let's go in order, in sequence. First of all, Avram's getting old. If Avram's getting old, then he's not going to be able to do all the things that he at one point in his life thought that he would do. Secondly, he had a child when he was relatively old, and therefore he perhaps now feels that there really is a need for his son to start thinking about marriage. We don't have any idea how old Yitzchak is right now, as we have no idea how old Yitzchak is during the time of the Akedah, despite various claims and various positions and even things that we find in Midrashim. But as far as the text goes, we have no idea at the time. In fact, he was called a Na'ar, which indicates that he was somewhat young at the time. The main reason that people think that he was old or think that he was 37 is this desire to connect the death of Sarah to the Akedah one way or the other, which Rashi does make reference to in the beginning of the parsha. Avram specifically says, and he's going to say more things as we continue, but right now he specifically says, make sure that my son does not marry a Canaanite girl. Later on in Sefer Devarim, we're going to find that there is a verse that makes reference to something which many of us would call today intermarriage, even though intermarriage for different people means different things. For Sfaradim it means an Ashkenazi, for Hasidim it means Misnagdim, and so on and so forth. But what's interesting in the context in Sefer Devarim, when it says Lo titchanein bam, do not marry them, it actually sounds as if there's a possibility, and I'm understating this, that it's only speaking about the Sheva Amamim. It's only talking about those nations that control the land of Israel, and not necessarily a blanket prohibition against intermarriage. Don't quote me on this. This is, as I said, you know, psukim are one thing and halacha is another thing. But if you read the psukim in context, one will not at all be convinced that you're talking about a general prohibition. Rather, it very specifically, I mean, I can read it to you if you like. In Perek Zayin, in Sefer Devarim, Ki Aviyacha Hashem Elokecha El Haaretz Asher Ata Bashem Lerishta, V'Nashal Goyim Rabim Mipanecha, Hachiti, V'Girgashi, V'Emori, V'Knani, V'Prizi, V'Chivi, V'Yivusi, Shiva Goyim Rabim V'Atzumi Mimecha. Now with Unitanam Hashem Elokecha Lepanecha, V'Hikitam Hacharim Tacharim Otam, Lo Tichrot Lem Brit, V'Lo Tichanem. V'Lo Titchaten Bam Bitcha, Lo titein levno ubito lo tikach levnecha, which means the prohibition against intermarriage is stated specifically regarding when you enter into the land, regarding the seven nations, and regarding some kind of a consideration of how this may frustrate our entering into the land and our inheriting the land and this land being ours. As I said, halacha, if this is a deraita, in every case it's, or not, all that is beyond my concern. But when we hear Avram over here making the statement, do not have my son marry somebody, mibnot Knan, from one of the Canaanite girls, so then you just begin to ask, does Avram have some kind of a similar consideration, or for that matter, what exactly is Avraham thinking right now? What is or what are his considerations when he says that this is a problem? The other thing that we should be keeping in mind is the more specific context. Avram just now finished these negotiations, which you have to admit are somewhat ironic. God promises in the land of Israel, okay, the land of Israel is his. All of this belongs to him. There's only one problem. No one knows it aside from him. So now it comes time to actually burying his wife, which should not be the most complicated thing when you own the entire property, but you still have to negotiate and you have to pay for it and so on and so forth. Not, by the way, as all of us know that it made any difference that we paid for that particular property, not that it impresses very many people today. So right after dealing with the locals, and now Avram turns and says, you know what, don't marry anybody over here local. So as I said, it could be something very specific, that could be a larger concern, it could be the type of a concern which is echoed later on in Sefer Dvarim. As the negotiations or the discussion over here continues, and you notice in this week's parasha, there are a series of negotiations, negotiations with Bnei Chet, negotiations in a sense with his trusted servant, who we will call Eliezer, because Chazal call him Eliezer, even though those of you who are in the know that throughout this entire chapter, he's never called Eliezer once. It's one of the things that we who have been indoctrinated with Chumash and Rashi no longer know what the Chumash says, and just assume it said Eliezer here someplace. It never says it at all within this chapter, but as I said, if it's good enough for Rashi, it's good enough for us. So when he turns to his elderly steward, the man that he trusts, and perhaps the man who would one day would have inherited him, and he asks him to go and to find. So there are some discussions which perhaps are almost negotiations, and then later on we have more discussions, negotiations going on when he actually arrives back in Avraham's hometown. So we just have a series of these discussions taking place, and therefore it is worthwhile comparing or contrasting them. So in Pasuk Bed, Vayomer Avraham El Avdo Zakan Beito Hamoshel B'chol Asher Lo Simni Adcha Tachet Yerechi V'Ashbiacha B'Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Elokei Haaretz Asher Lo Tikach Isha Livni B'Bnot Haknani Asher Anochi Yoshev B'Kirbo. Do not allow my son to marry a local girl who I sit in their midst. Now again, what exactly is consideration? We're not sure. Ki El Artzi Ve'El Maladati Teleich. Rather, go back to where I come from, my birthplace, v'lakachti isha livni liyitzchak, and from there you should take a wife. Now, the first thing I can ask is why? What exactly is the consideration? If we're dealing with beliefs, there's no reason at all to think that the belief system over there is going to be any better than the belief system which is over here. The basic answer that I'll give, and this goes and continues after our whole Lot travesty, is that there is a consideration not to marry from the Benot from Cham, to rather marry somebody from the Shem family. Because, again, if it's beliefs, it's a little harder to say. If it's a question of lineage and perhaps some other considerations, I mean, the one thing that does impress us greatly is that Rivka, who eventually is going to become the candidate and the wife, Rivka is very much like Avram Avinu. The running and taking care of the guests and the feeding and the whole thing, which means when you look at the scene in the beginning of Vayera, of Avraham taking care of his guests, and you look at the scene in here in the middle of Chayisara, of Rivka taking care of her guests, you realize that there really is a direct parallel over here. And perhaps this is what Avram had in mind. Again, I can't tell you what the people there believed in. Much later on, when we get to Lavan, who's very close family to Rivka, Lavan does not necessarily seem to be somebody who is necessarily a monotheist. So for that matter, Rivka is not necessarily brought up within a family of monotheists. So apparently the issue here is not belief. I will mention something which I've mentioned before, not here, but I find interesting, and it's the kind of thing that you will never have a rabbi say today, because again, we not only into marriage, you have to marry somebody who's appropriate. There was a rabbi who lived around 700 years ago, he's known as the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissim. And he gave drashot, which are called the Drashot Haran. It's collected in a book. You can find them. And on this point, he made the following observation. He said that it may very well be that she was an idolater. She came from a family of idolaters. But what exactly was the test that the Eved Avraham or Eliezer gave? The test was, who is going to be able to perform chesed? So on the one hand, I can say, we need a candidate who is going to be somebody who can live the type of life that Avram and Sarah live and will feel comfortable in that kind of house, and therefore chesed is important. But the Ran says something else. He says that she may be an idolater, but she performs chesed. So he says it's easier to change one's beliefs than it is to change one's character. So again, I'm waiting for the rabbi when he's approached. There's two girls, one's religious and one's not religious, or two fellows, one's religious and one not religious, but one is a very fine person. I'm waiting for the rabbi who will say, well, that was the test that Eliezer Eved Avraham did, and therefore the Ron says that's something, it's much easier to change one's belief system than to actually change one's character, so therefore that's the proper person to marry. As I said, I can't imagine anybody actually quoting the Ron today, but the Ron does in fact say that because of this case, and maybe it gives us a little bit more, you know, reason to pause and to think about various issues and what really is important in life. But anyway, going back to our initial discussion, not concerned when he actually gets there and the whole test that he gives, because again, he should have been testing many other things, right? He should have been asking questions like, I don't know, what do you answer on your shidduch questionnaire? I mean, how do you plan to cover your hair? Right. There should have been all kinds of other questions that were asked over here, and it's very interesting that none of those were asked. There was just one test, and the test was, is she somebody capable of chesed? And if she is capable of chesed, then this is the right person. So as I said, that's it would never make it today. But anyway. We'll get to that. So, continue. Pasuk Hey. Vayoma elav ha'eved, and the other thing you can look at, if you go through the rest of the chapter, you can notice how the eved's name changes, or title changes, at different stages in the whole thing. We're not going to do that, but just notice how he changes along the way, depending on what role he was perceived as having at that moment. But at this point, he's certainly the eved, because he's talking to Avraham. Vayoma elav ha'eved, ulay lo ta'avehi isha lelechet acharai, ela aretz hazot, Hashev ashiv et bincha el ha'aret ha'sheyatat zatamisham. He goes, but she may not want to come. Now, there's a couple of ways to understand this. She may not want to come at all, or she may not want to, what they would call today, liknot chatul basak. She may not want to meet, okay, hold it a second. If they're sending somebody else on the shidduch date, by the way, this is a great business to think of, right? Shidduch by proxy, right? Send somebody else on the day to interview, right? To interview and then decide if the person's appropriate or not, and then bring them back. But the other side may be thinking, hold it, what is the matter with this guy if they're not even letting us get a look at him? So one way of understanding this is that he's saying, if she won't marry unless she meets him first, can I bring him for a date? Right? That's one way of reading this. Another way of reading this is even stronger, saying, let's say she's just not interested in just picking up and moving her life. If it's really important to you that Yitzhak not marry somebody who's local, but somebody who's far won't come here, should I bring him over there? Which means, what's the end, what's the objective over here? So far, all that he said is, I don't want to marry somebody local, so the Eved asks a very logical question. Okay, so if my choices are marrying somebody local, marrying somebody there, but she doesn't want to come here, so then what should I do? At that, Avram responds, again, Vayoma Ilova Evid Pasakei, Ulai Lota Vehisha Lecharai, Ella Aratzazot, Hashev, Ashivet, Binchai, Ella Aratzashayatzatamisham? Should I go and bring him back there? Vayoma Ilov Avraham, Hishamer Lacha Pen Toshivet Binishama. Do not, under any circumstances, bring my son there. Hashem Elokei Hashamayim Asher Lakachani Mi Beit Avi Umi Eretz Moladeti, Vasher Diber Li, Vasher Nishbali Leimor Lazaracha Tenat Aratzazot. This is a pretty strong statement of Avram. Of course, the question is how he knows this. Avram says, don't worry, you know, we are divinely inspired, and therefore your mission, you're on a mission of God. God is going to be helping you. An angel will be walking in front of you, very, very reminiscent of when Am Yisrael goes traveling through the desert and going to enter the land of Israel. Right? There will be a malach there with you. And don't worry. But again, it's very interesting. Don't worry, God is going to send them. But then Avram backtracks and says, but just in case she doesn't want to follow you, she does not want to be a mail order bride. Vinikita mishvuatizot, I hereby release you. Rak et bini lo teshev shama, my son, do not return to there. And that's also interesting. He says, do not return my son there. His son was never there. So what exactly does it mean, do not return my son there? Vayosum ha'eved et yado tachet yerech Avraham Adonav vayishbalo al hadavar hazeh. So he made a vow and he agreed to these conditions, and therefore he will set off on his mission. Now, I'm going to ask again, What exactly was Avraham's concern? Why couldn't Yitzchak go on a date by himself? Right? Most of us survived that. I mean, it could be the ones who didn't survive are not here today to talk about it. But most of us survived that. So why is it that Yitzchak can't go? So I know that deep in your head you're going to give me various answers. Why not? But we can look at the commentaries, or if you want, you can try to figure out what's going on, because there's a couple of issues over here. One is he can't marry somebody locally; he has to marry somebody from far away. But he can marry somebody from far away, but he can't actually go there. So therefore, Avram's a very difficult client, right? I mean, he sets up some very, very specific criteria that will satisfy him over here, and there were easier ways to go about doing this, but Avraham sets it up. This is exactly, yeah. Okay, let's continue. Do not return my son to there. So the Rashbam in source number 2, he tells us, because that's where Avraham's from. Avraham's speaking from his perspective. Don't return my son to where I came from. So it's really about Avraham. There are other commentaries that say it's talking about Eliezer, because Eliezer comes from there. But in the continuation in the Rashbam on Pasuk Zion, right in source number 2, Hashem Elokei Hashemayim, Shehevi Ani Kan, God who brought me here, V'natan Lezar'i Zot Haaretz, and he gave to my descendants this land, Yodati She'ena Rotzeh. This is so interesting. I know what God wants. Right? Yodati She'ena Rotzeh Shirachek Zar'i Mikan. God does not want my children, my descendants, to move away from this land. She'im Kain Malo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Lavianu LaKan. Otherwise, why would he have brought us here in the first place? L'fichah Yodea Ani She'ishlach Malcho Latzliach Drachecha L'Kaim Li'Avtachato. And therefore, I know that God is doing that. You understand, of course, it's bothering the Rashbam. What makes Avraham so confident about this? What makes him so clear about this? So, look, the truth is that Avraham along the way actually showed his hand, because he's quoting a conversation that God had with him. Which conversation was it? When did God have this conversation? When he says, in Pasuk Zayin, Hashem Elokei Hashamayim Asher Lakachani Mibeit Avi Mi'aretzim Elotei Vasher Diberli Vasher Nishbali Leimor Lezaracha Teinat Aretz Azot. So when was it that God said this? He said it's correct. By the Brit Bein HaPtarim, he used those exact words. If you look at Rashi at the very end of source 3, Vasher Nishbali Bein HaPtarim. That's what God said at that particular junction. By the way, the Radak doesn't agree. Vasher Nishbali, he writes in source number 4, by Kedat Yitzchak. So you can't even have commentaries agreeing when God said it. Although the words are quite similar to the words that were said by the Brit Bein HaPtarim, I'm not exactly sure why the Rashbam would think any differently. Look at source number 5 in the Chizkuni. Those of you who do not remember who the Chizkuni is, or you never knew who the Chizkuni is a very interesting commentary that comes in the broadest sense from the school of Tosfot, which means that the books that are opened up in front of him is Rashi on the one hand. I mean, he was brought up with Chumash and Rashi just like you are. But he also was brought up with certain comments in the school of Tosfot, which, by the way, there are half a dozen at least different commentaries of different people from the school of Tosfot on the Chumash, and they almost always say the same thing. So the same commentary seemed to have spread about. Asher lekachani mibeit avi, shehirchakani mekrovai latet li et haaretz hazot. It's very interesting, because he seems to be saying that in order for me to get this land, I needed to be separated from my house. What's he referring to? Because he's not referring to the Brit Bein HaPtarim, and he's not referring necessarily to the Akedah. He's referring to something else. He's referring to Lech Lecha. Referring to Lech Lecha, go back and look at it again in Pasuk Dalet. We went back a little bit further than Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Dalet. Ki el artzi ve el maladati teilech. Lech Lecha me'artzecha me'ladecha me'beit avicha el artz she'arecha. So now, you know, in order for God to give me this land, I needed to pull away from these people. So now he's saying, but go back to the people. Which, by the way, leads you back to the question again. If I had to move away from them in order to be able to get this land, so why does Avraham think it's such a good idea to go back and to get a spouse from them? Yeah.
Land, but he's already left land twice.
Better question. Continue. And Yaakov will leave the land. It's a great question. Right. So that's a great question. What happens to Yaakov? Why is it that Yaakov's? Oh, you need to get married. Sure, go take a trip. Go find somebody. Which means if this is such a strong point, so then what exactly is the problem over here? But again, you read the words of Chizkuni, he says, it sounds to be that you can only get this land when you separate from your family. So if that's the case, then why, again, just... But then he continues, and look at it, I do not want my children to move away from here. Which doesn't actually sound the way that the Chizkuni is phrasing it, that he's dealing with some kind of a divine piece of information. Rather, I brought my children to live in this land. I don't want them going away to someplace else. Excuse me? Ve'eino rotze. Perhaps, yeah. Ve'eino rotze. Look at the way the Radak says it in source number 8. He shamer lecha ki lo ratza Avram sheyatza b'mechiz kato min ha'aretz shenatan lo hakel ulazaro. It's a more practical concern this way. God promises in the land. What happens if Yitzchak leaves? Now again, if Yitzchak leaves, we don't know how long he's going to go for.
There's no one left.
No one's left. Right.
Right now it's still a very tenuous...
Correct. And if no one's left, so then what happens to the claim of the land? So it sounds over here, to the Radak, as if we're dealing with something which is a very, very practical, almost real estate concern. We're staking a claim over here. If we leave, we have no stake over here. Again, if we just think about it, what are the various possibilities of why he would not want him to go? And again, keeping in mind that Yaakov, it's okay that he goes, and Avraham himself goes. Even though when Avraham leaves... There's a question there if Avram did something right or did something wrong when he left. The Ramban brings him to task for it, believes that he made a serious mistake by leaving when there was the famine. But what is this concern? So it could be a concern, an educational concern, right? We want our children to feel connected to this land, therefore we will not vacation in Europe, right? Okay. Right, one second. Was that point really clear? We want our children to feel a connection to this land, and therefore we will not be leaving this land. We will not be building up other lands as being the right place and so on. Of course we have a tension then. So again, according to what I'm saying right now, this is a totally an educational concern. On the other hand, I can say it's a concern in terms of real estate, as we've seen. Not that we want an emotional connection to the land, we want a legal connection to the land, and therefore if we leave, then it could be perceived in some way that we are forfeiting this type of a connection to the land. Okay. Are there any other ways of stating this? Okay. That's very good. That's very good. Perhaps we'll get back to that. Look at source number 9, and the Al-Sheikh reads something in over here. Ulazeh Amar, Asher Yatzati Misham, you know, this place that you left from, Klomar, Now, I suspect that some of you have heard this concept at some point. We're going to look at it a little bit. He says that Yitzchak is considered to be an olat tmima. Ela aretz asher yatzata misham vadei lo taseh kol lirtzot basher ma'asta. Uma gam miyada shelo haya reshut Yitzchak letzeit chutz la'aretz liyot olat tmima ki ma'amaram zal. So this is as the rabbis have said, that Yitzchak is considered to be an olat tmima, and therefore Yitzchak cannot leave the land. Now, as compelling as this may sound, it's not as simple as it sounds, and I'll show you why in a moment. First, what is he saying? Yitzchak was placed upon the altar. Yitzchak was placed upon the Mizbeach. And since he's placed upon the Mizbeach, there's some type of added Kedushat Yitzchak. Now, obviously, by giving this answer, you are already implicitly saying, even if you don't say it black and white, why there will be a difference between Yitzchak and Avram and Yaakov and anybody else for that matter, that the rest of us can go and see the Alps, but Yitzchak can't. Why can't Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak is Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is this pure individual Yitzchak is born in Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak is the first person to have a Brit Milah on the eighth day. Yitzchak is the person who was placed upon the Mizbeach. Yitzchak is the one when he's taken off the Mizbeach, there's still, there's retained within him some type of Kedusha. Of course, you would now have to figure out, is this really a halacha? Is there really such a halacha that something which is placed on Mizbeach cannot be taken out of the land of Israel? Or not? By the way, that may not be as easy as saying. There is an issue that if somebody's in Chutz La'aretz, dedicates a korban, there's a mitzvah taseh to bring it to Eretz Yisrael. There is such a mitzvah taseh. What happens if something's a korban and then undergoes some kind of... I'm being too serious right now, even checking this in terms of the laws of Kudshim, but I actually contacted a friend of mine who is one of the world's expert on Kudshim, and I won't say he gave up, but he said one would have to research this more carefully. That was the conclusion that he had at the end. And it's not as simple as it sounds. Nonetheless, if we look at source number 10, the Medrash Tanchuma does say this. We'll see, you know what? Before we read the Medrash Tanchuma, let's read the Psukim that it's referring to. Because the Medrash Tanchuma is in Parshat Toldot. It's in next week's Parsha. It's not in this week's Parsha. Now that itself is interesting to me, because it just as easily could have said it over here. In source 13, Perek Kavav Pasuk Aleph, V'yihi Rav Ba'aretz, Milvad HaRav HaRishonah Asher Haya Bimei Avraham. When you hear it like that, right away, again, the Torah is telling us, please compare it to that first famine that took place. Please now consider the solutions that Avraham had taken. Please either agree or do the exact opposite. But right now it's saying, please compare. Otherwise, you would not have that kind of a phrase. Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech, Melech Plishtim Gerara. Now, this is actually a very interesting place. Is Eretz Plishtim part of Eretz Yisrael or not? Maybe that's a political question. Is it part of Eretz Yisrael or is it not part of Eretz Yisrael? So that depends on how you understood something in last week's Parsha. Here, for example, when the Akedah was introduced, it says, Vayi Acher Hadrim Eile. So various commentaries are troubled. What does it mean, Acher Hadrim Eile? Which things are we talking about? Rashi offers a couple of different interpretations as far as which things it was. Rashi says, on the one hand, it's the divrei of the Satan who wasn't happy that Avram made a seudah. Rashi continues and gives another interpretation that it was talking about the divrei of Yishmael. Yishmael was bragging that he went through a brit milah at the age of 13. On the other hand, yes, it's the Chizkuni again. Chizkuni writes, again, back there by the Akedah, v'yeshma for Hashem, this is his second, he quotes Rashi, as I said he should, and then he says, "V'yeshma for Hashem achadur me'ele shakarat Avram brit im Avi Melech lo ulinino ulinechdo shelo brishut Hakadosh Baruch Hu ve'eretz plishtim nitna lo ulzaro." That Eretz Plishtim was supposed to belong to Avram, and Avram then in turn goes and makes a covenant with Avi Melech and says, "Okay, let's make a deal." And he gives him and his children and his grandchildren and great grandchildren, he gives them the rights to this land. So, I mean, this then just raises an enormous question. Hold it a second. If you're giving away the rights of this land, is this really yours? Now you can now start discussing ownership right now. If God gave the land of Israel to Avram, does Avram have the right to do with it whatever he wants? So don't answer that question. Because he didn't give it to Avram. Who did he give it to? He gave it to all the descendants. So how can Avram get up? So essentially, the way the Chizkuni is understanding the Akedah, God makes two covenants with Avram, or a covenant with two sides to it. One side is the land of Israel. The other side is that you're going to have descendants. According to the Chizkuni, he's turning around saying to God, saying to Avram, okay, so you just now broke the first covenant by agreeing to give away parts of Eretz Yisrael, so now I'm breaking the other covenant and therefore take Yitzchak and put him up on an altar and kill him. And again, a very, very frightening commentary, but of course you understand what's troubling him. What's troubling him is how in the world can he get to anything can possibly justify on a moral sense how God can ask for such a thing, but he's accusing Avram of doing something which is absolutely horrific. So now I go back again to what we're up to, where Yitzchak goes to Eretz Plishtim, and now this is so complicated, because is Avimelech and Eretz Plishtim, is it part of Eretz Yisrael or not part of Eretz Yisrael? Well, it was part of Eretz Yisrael. It was part of the larger, what we call the real Eretz Yisrael Hashlema. It was part of it. But Avram sort of made a deal. Avram wanted to get peace for at least a couple of generations, and therefore he decided that it was a good... I'm not talking politics, by the way. And therefore Avram decided it would be a very good idea to give part of it, and at least according to Chizkuni, he wasn't very happy. But we, so let's go back, and now we have context for Source 13 again. V'yihi ra'av ba'aretz, mo'vada rav rishon asher yabi mei Avraham, v'yelech Yitzchak el Avimelech melech plishtim gerara. V'yar elav Hashem, and now God appears to Yitzchak. V'yomer, and he says to him, did God appear to Yitzchak before this? As far as I can recall off the top of my head, this is the first time that God ever spoke to him. May even be the only time. God speaks to him and says, Al Tered Mitzrayma, do not go to Egypt. Shechom ba'aretz asher omar elecha, stay in the land, dwell in the land, which I will tell you. Gur ba'aretz hazot, stay in this land. By the way, which is this land? Well, it depends where he is at the time. Stay ba'aretz hazot, ve'yeh imach v'avrecheka, ki lecha ulezarecha etein et kol ha'aretzot ha'el, which becomes so much more interesting now that we understand context, v'akimoti et ha'shvu'ah asher nishbati la'avram avicha, and I will keep the vow that I made to Avram. V'rebeiti et zarecha kechokhei shmai, v'natati l'zarecha et kol ha'aretzot ha'el. Again, very, very strong and broad definition. V'dbarchu b'zarecha kol ge'aretz. Ekev asher shema Avram b'koli, v'yishmor mishmarti mitzvotai chukotai v'toratai. So he's saying to stay over here in this land. So, this, as I said, is obviously quite interesting. God tells Yitzchak not to go, but where does he tell him specifically to go? Does he tell him, do not go to chutz la'aretz? Or does he say very specifically, do not go to... He just tells him not to go to Mitzrayim. On this... we have the midrash going and qualifying. So now let's go back to source number 10 and look at the midrash. Vayelach Yitzchak el Avimelech. So now we have context when this happens. Bikesh li reid limitzrayim. What did he want to do? He wanted to go down to Egypt. Why would he go down to Egypt? Because that's what his father did. Bikesh they read the Mitzrayim, miyad nigla alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu omolei al tered Mitzrayim, Avram yarad v'Yitzchak lo yarad. V'lama lo amar la'Avraham el Yitzchak al tered Mitzrayim, amar Rav Hoshea, omolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yitzchak avicha sheba michutz la'aretz yarad l'Mitzrayim. Aval atash noladata be'eret Yisrael ve'ata olat tehora. It's not exactly the phrase that we're used to, olat tmima, olat tehora, tered, bitmia, question, you're going to go down, bitmia means question mark, that it's telling you, read this with a question, tered, you're going to go down, you are going to go down to chutz la'aretz, lefichach al tered mitzrayma, you cannot go. Now again, it's interesting, because this text is talking about Mitzrayim specifically, and the Midrash just now read into it, it's talking about Chutz La'aretz Bechlal. So now you realize what the Alshich did, and he's not the only one, quote-unquote, guilty of this. What did he do? He took what God said in this context, don't go down to Egypt, and he read it back into the other context of why Avraham didn't want to go down, which means, according to this, Avraham already knows or has intuition. He intuits that God does not want Yitzchak to leave. He understands the same consideration and said, do not take my son away. Now you just have to decide if that is really a convincing interpretation. So again, the Alshich said in source number 9, earlier in source 11 you see, the Chizkuni says, Rak et b'ni. Again, he's in Perek Kaf Dalet, back in our source, in Chayesara. B'ni eino chozer, l'fisha hu olet mima, ve'eino chotza la'aretz, ve'ein chutz la'aretz kedai lo. And it's not worthwhile. It's very interesting. Kedai lo. It should have been stronger. Kedai lo. Lo teshev shama, eini rotze, sheyotze me'eretz achuzato, shenatan lo kodesh baruch hu. Which means he's this olat mima. He really can't go. The same thing you see in source number 12, Rabbeinu Bachaye. Pentolid et b'ni shama, ki lo ya avram chafetz sheyetze yitzchak min ha'aretz ha'kdosha lo chutz la'aretz, lefi sheya olat mima, ve'ein kodesh na'asechol. So again, all of these commentaries that come in, and what they did is they took the Divrei Chazal, which is based upon the word of God, later on when Avram was tempted perhaps to go to Chutz La'aretz during the famine, and what they say, they apply it back to this situation and say, therefore, Yitzchak shouldn't go because Yitzchak is too holy to go. And of course, that answers the question, why could Yaakov go? Because, okay, even though Yaakov was born in Eretz Israel, even though Yaakov did have a Brit Milah on the eighth day, but still Yaakov is not quite as holy because he never went through the Akedah and doesn't have the status of being this Ola Tmima. Now, one thing which I think is somewhat problematic is that there's a difference between sending them back. Now one thing which I'm not going to deal with appropriately, which is something which we've danced around already a couple of times and we will continue to dance, and that is exactly where is Avraham from? Again, over here, when Avraham says, go back to my hometown, go to my family, and so on, and where does it say he goes to? It actually says where he goes. He goes to Aram Naharayim. So where is exactly Avram from? So you can start look at the Ramban and look at others, Rashi, whatever. There's a whole discussion where exactly he's from. But either way, from wherever he's from, it would seem to be that by the Brit Bein Aptarim, and we mentioned it then, where did it say is the boundaries of the land of Israel? It says, May Nahar Prat till Nahar Mitzrayim. Which means there's a qualitative difference between going to where Avram's family is from to going to passing the Nahar Mitzrayim. You pass the Nahar Mitzrayim, you've gone into Chutz La'aretz. You go to Eretz Plishtim, which is where he was, you're still in the part of the land of Israel that God had promised to Avram. You go north and east. I don't know how far north and how far east you want to go. You're still going to be within the boundaries of what God promises to Avram, which means to call that Chutz La'aretz, that itself is, maybe anything outside of the green line, you're not going to consider to be part of Eretz Yisrael, and maybe that's the consideration. But it's just very interesting. The Midrashim never said this. The Midrashim never said, oh, Yitzchak can't go there, because he's an Olat Tmima, and therefore he can't go in that direction. But a number of the Rishonim said it. They just took it for granted. That's not part of Eretz Yisrael. So it's very interesting. They took the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael as it was during Bayit Rishon, which is not the full promise to Avraham, and therefore assumed, okay, that's the boundaries of Israel. So Yitzchak could not possibly have gone there because he has the status of a korban. But as I said, Chazal don't say this because I don't think Chazal were as limited in this sense. Egypt is a problem. Going north, they never said such a thing. So again, even though maybe this sounded like a very good solution, I'm not exactly convinced that we can really proceed with this. By the way, you ask, so who could he have married otherwise? So if you look at the Ramban in source number 18, Va'Avraham hu ha'yodea b'Yitzchak ha'tzadik she'yishma la'aviv. It's very interesting. Could be he say, I'm not going to listen to you. Last time I listened to you was didn't work out all that well. But no, absolutely. You know, it says there, before the Akedah, v'yachu shnehem yachdav. It says after he asks and questions, what are you going to use, and so on, and he tells him, God will provide my son. I mean, Rashi is very extreme there. He asks, he gets his answer, he seems to understand what's going on, and he's, they absolutely walk together. I know I've heard people who have put forth arguments that after the Akedah, Avram never speaks to Yitzchak, or Yitzchak never speaks to Avram again, which is very nice. Before the Akedah, they never spoke either. The only time we find in the Chumash them speaking are those two psukim, and those two psukim are very, very tender. Right? I mean, you've noticed the truth is, even though it's a horrific scene, the truth is that it's absolutely beautiful, the discussion that they have, even though it's not under the best type of circumstances. He takes the wood, but Yisama Yitzchak Beno, not only that, Yitzchak gets to carry it. V'yikach b'yadot ta'esh, he carries the fire, v'ed ma'achelet, and he carries the sword, the knife, v'yichush shneim yachtov, and the two of them march together. V'yoma Yitzchak el Avraham, the only time in the Chumash they communicate. Okay, that's interesting. V'yomer Yitzchak el Avraham aviv, v'yomer, avi. How would you translate that, avi? And when I say translate, I'm not interested in the word. I'm much more interested in the tone of voice. What? It's Vayomer Avi. Vayomer Hineni Bini. I mean, do you hear how tender this conversation is? Shall I read that again? Vayomer Yitzchak El Avraham Aviv. Vayomer Avi. Vayomer Hineni Bini. Vayomer Hinei Ha'ish Vaitzim Vayehaseh Lo'olah. Vayomer Avraham Elohim Yireh Lehaseh Lo'olah Bini. Vayechul Shneim Yachdov. And they continue to march together. Don't tell me Yitzchak was upset. Yitzchak knows what's going on, and that's why he specifically questions. And the tenderness of this conversation, the love that you hear, yes? The love that you hear. You know, the first time we find in the Chumash that it says that anybody ever loved their wife was, it says that when Yitzchak meets his mail order bride, that's the first time that we find love is used between a man and a woman. So apparently the shidduch system doesn't work, at least in that particular instance. But the first time we find love in the Chumash, it's God says, take your son who you love. That's the first time. Meaning, there is love in Yitzchak's life. There is love. He is loved by his father. He's able, somebody who's really loved by their parents is able then to share love with other people as well. The reason why I'm starting to go in this direction is that Yitzchak is the most difficult of the characters, of the Avot, or Imahot for that matter, to understand, because there's so little said about him. But that doesn't mean that what's said about him doesn't tell us a lot. This conversation is such a strong conversation that you hear it and you feel it and you understand the relationship they had. So again, anybody who says, oh, after the Akedah they never spoke. So again, as I said, before the Akedah they never spoke either, but during the Akedah they spoke. And that conversation that they spoke during the Akedah to me is such a powerful conversation, because when God says the son that you love, you realize the love of Avraham is felt by Yitzchak. Yitzchak loves his father, the father loves the son, and they are absolutely joined, they're absolutely together over here. And therefore, it's natural that when Yitzchak saw a healthy relationship between his parents, Yitzchak meets his wife, and Yitzchak loves her. I mean, he's somebody who's very, very capable of loving. That's the first thing that we do see about him. Question is what else it is that we see about him. So the Ramban, right, we're in the middle of the Ramban in 18, the Avram hu hayodea bi Yitzchak hatzadik sheishma la'aviv. He knows his father's going to listen to him. How does he know his father's going to listen to him? Avram knows that Yitzchak will listen to his father. He will listen to Avram. Vishayizaher b'hem, and he's going to be careful, and he's not going to marry a local girl. So what's he going to do then? Which means, if they're not going to send back Rivka or somebody like Rivka, what's he going to do? So Ramban says, Vayelecha Yishmael ololot v'yeter amim. He'll marry, Lot had nice girls. Well, at least... That's what the Ramban is. I mean, I thought that was very amusing. That he is okay. He'll marry somebody that he can marry, and he won't end up marrying one of the.
He couldn't marry a Canaanite because they weren't
Kulanim. Right. So he'll marry Benot Lot instead. But as I said, the Ramban is interesting. He knows. He knows that he'll listen to him now. Source 19 tells us something else about Yitzchak, but it's not as obvious, and then we're going to have to look and see what Chazal do with it. V'yikberu oto Yitzchak, Avram passed away, and the funeral takes place. V'yikberu oto Yitzchak v'yishmael banav, el marat ha-machpela, el stei afron ben tzochar ha-chiti asher al pnei mamre. The Midrash, and this is also in the Gemara and also in Rashi, we'll see. V'yikberu oto Yitzchak v'yishmael banav, melamed sha'asa Yishmael tshuva. That this is the indication that that Yishmael at the end did tshuva. Shurei Yishmael bachur, v'inhig Yitzchak lefanav. He was the firstborn, and by virtue of the being the firstborn, he was demanding rights of the firstborn. I'll expand on this in a moment. Lefi shahoyodeya bo shehut tzadik mimenu, aval Esav lo asa tshuva shurei lo namerikvu oto Esav v'Yakov benav. That means at some point in Yishmael's life, he hands over the reins and he accepts that Yitzchak is really the one who will inherit Avraham. He accepts that Yitzchak is primary, and he is able to step back and step aside. The Gemara says almost the same thing in Source 21. Gemara in Baba Batra, Amar Rav Yochanan Yishmael asa tshuva b'chayei aviv, shenemar v'kru oto Yitzchak v'yishmael b'no. Rashi in Source 22 cites this, Yitzchak v'yishmael, mikan sha'asa Yishmael tshuva, v'holich et Yitzchak lefanav. He's able to put, he therefore puts Yitzchak, he pushes him forward, you're the real son, you take precedence. V'hi seva tova shenamar ba'Avraham. And that's what it means, that Avram died at a ripe old age and had a good life, that he was able to see his son Yishmael accepting his son Yitzchak as being primary and see his sons get along. And see that his sons get along, even though we could have anticipated, and that's one of the, I mean, Sarah anticipated that there was going to be tension over there, and therefore she encourages to push away. If you look at the Meshech Chachma, he expands this in a very clever way. V'gru yoto Yitzchak v'Yishmael, b'bababatra, so perek babaka. He quotes the Gemara we just now saw. Shma minas atshuva pirish da tam mishum dehu haya ben hagvira. Aval chet shel Yishmael haya ki mitzachek. Remember it says that Yishmael started laughing. So what does he mean he's mitzachek? Haya al hamishteh. He was laughing at the party that Avram was making. Why? Because he was the one, if you remember Rashi says this, he says this in Toldot. So if you didn't see it yet, you got another week. It says that Avraham, Avram Halinat Yitzchak. So Rashi asks, why does it have to repeat it twice? So he says, the late Sonei Hadar, right? You're familiar with the, for Avram Halinat Yitzchak. Said, look, Avimelech takes her, she's with him, comes back, and next thing we know that she's pregnant. So who are the late Sonei Hadar? And by the way, it's a great phrase. If we would open up a club like stand-up comedians, we would call it late Sonei Hadar. So late Sonei Hadar are the stand-up comedians, so on. But he's saying, correct, who was the one who was saying this? So the stand-up comics would say it, but who said it at the party? Yishmael said it. Now, why would he say such a thing? It says he's mitzachek. He's saying jokes. What jokes is he saying? He's saying, Avram's making a party for this kid. This kid isn't even his kid. Why does Yishmael have interest in saying he's not even his kid? Because he wants to inherit. So that's exactly what the Meshech Chachma is saying over here. So I said, Meshech Chachma, it's very clever that he puts this together. He says, Aval chet shel Yishmael haya ki mitzachek haya al hamishteh shemi melech nitabra. Kipirish Sforno. Take a look at the Sforno over there. L'chein shuvato haita shahoda shitzchak ben hagvira me'Avraham. Which means that when Yishmael finally says, no, I know that you're really the son of Avraham, and you're the son of Avraham's real wife, and you're the son of Sarah, and therefore I'm placing you in front, and just like Hagar was subservient to Sarah, I will be subservient to you. And that is this idea that Avraham is buried by Yitzchak and Yishmael. And that's what Chazal are noting over here, that Yishmael did tshuva. Now the question then is, so who was Chozer and B'tshuva? I mean, was it Lubavitch or Chabad? Was it Eshet Torah? Was it Or Sameach? Was it YU's counterpoint program? I mean, who exactly was the one that did this work and had this impact upon him? So the answer that I think, and I think that I can prove this, but this is the thesis and this will help us understand the entire parasha. And Tamar said something very good before. I didn't give her enough credit at the time, but I think the person was Yitzchak. Notice in Source 24, which is in this week's parasha, when Eliezer Eved Avraham returns with Rivka, it says that Yitzchak returns as well. So where was Yitzchak going? Again, he shouldn't be traveling, right? He should be staying home. Yitzchak is, you know, he should just be sitting, learning, and whatever it is that holy people do. V'Yitzchak ba mivo, he came from coming from Be'er L'chai Ro'i, who yoshev Be'eretz Hanegev. He comes from this place called Be'er L'chai Ro'i. The Midrash, which Rashi quotes, which also goes back to this tender relationship between Avram and Sarah, Avram and Yitzchak. Avraham, at the end of his life, is concerned with finding a wife for Yitzchak. And that's what he sends his Eved and so on. Yitzchak, on the other hand, according to this Midrash we're about to read, was concerned with finding a spouse for his father, who's now lonely. So each of them is worried about the other one. And look at the Midrash. Be'er l'chai ro'i, sha'al Yitzchak lehevi hagar la'aviv. He wanted to bring Hagar back home. What does Be'er L'chai Ro'i have to do with Hagar? So you look at Source 26. This is the scene. V'yimtza malach Hashem al ein ha'mayim b'midbar, al ein al ha'ayin b'derech shur, v'yomer Hagar shivchat Sarai. Notice, the malach reminds her of who she is and what her status is. Even though, by the way, Sarah encouraged him initially to take her as a wife, Le'isha. Over here, Shivchat Sarai. Amy Zabata Va'ana Telchi, Batom Ibn Sarai Gvirti, Anochi Barachat. V'yomu Lamalach Hashem, Shuvi El Gvirtech, Vit Ani Tachat Yadeha. V'yomu Lamalach Hashem, Harber Be'ed Zarech, V'lois Permiro, V'yomu Lamalach Hashem, Hinach Hara, V'yaladet Ben, V'korat Hashem, Yishmael, Ki Shema Hashem Et Anyech. V'hu Yepera Adam, Yado Bakol, V'yad Kolbo, V'alpane Kol Echav Yishkon. V'tikra Shem Hashem Hadover Eleha, Ata, El Roi, ki amra hagam halori iti achare roi, al kain kara leve'er be'er l'chai roi. That this place called Be'er l'chai roi is the place that Hagar had her revelation. That's quite interesting, and that's what the Midrash was noticing. Where did Yitzchak come from? The Chumash said in Source 24, v'Yitzchak ba mivo mi'ber be'er l'chai roi. He came from the be'er of the Be'er of Hagar. So what's he doing by the Be'er of Hagar? And again, as I said, that's why the Midrash paints this beautiful picture. Avram's worried about Yitzchak's loneliness, and Yitzchak is worried about Avram's loneliness, and each one, v'yechu shneim yachdav. Again, each one is concerned about the other. You don't have Source 28, right? I do. So in Perek Kaf Hei, Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'yihi achari mot Avraham, Vayivurach Elokim et Yitzchak b'no, and after Avram died, God blessed Yitzchak. Vayeshev Yitzchak im be'er l'chai ro'i. And where does he go? And he moves. He moves to be'er l'chai ro'i. So now, you can take this and you can do anything that you want with it. But I mean, you can turn this into a political statement. He recognizes the place of prayer of Hagar and of that side of the family. As I said, I'm always amused how you can twist anything any way that you want. But Yitzchak is somebody who apparently understands how to make peace between different parts of the family. Which means after reading how Yitzchak is going to validate Hagar, and going back and bringing her back, validate Yishmael, we can understand why Yishmael, quote-unquote, does tshuva, and is now able to treat Yitzchak with so much more respect, and treat him with, gives him the place they want. Because Yitzchak is far more clever than I think any of us ever gave him credit for. Yitzchak is somebody who's very conciliatory. Yitzchak is somebody who knows how to make peace. Now, how surprised are we that when Yitzchak has a son like Esav, he knows how to treat an Esav. He does not want his family to fall apart the same way that when he was growing up, the family fell apart and Yishmael was chased away. He has a son who reminds him more of Yishmael, or I'll put it differently. Maybe, I don't know yet what we'll do next week, but maybe we'll say this next week. He's a son who reminds him more of Nimrod than he does of Avram Avinu. That's what the text says. Tzayid, Gibor Tzayid Lifnei Hashem. He's somebody who reminds him of Nimrod more than he does of Avram Avinu. So what do you do when a Nimrod is growing up in the house of Yitzchak? So what does Yitzchak do? He loves him for it and he respects him for it. And again, the Chumash says it. 27 you have, right? V'yehav Yitzchak et Esav ki tzayid b'fiv. He loves him for the reasons, for the whatever skill that he has. He finds what's positive about him, and he loves him for it, and he gives him credit for it, which means Yitzchak is somebody who's very concerned about making peace between different factions of the family. This is the reason Yitzchak can't go to Chutz La'aretz. This is the reason he can't go back to Beit Lavan, or to Beit Betuel, or to or Beit Rivka. He can't go there. Because Yitzchak is somebody who will do all he can to bring the families together and to work it out. I saw the Kli Yakar say, the Kli Yakar, it's almost a joke. I mean, it's not a good joke, but it's a joke anyway, of somebody, and I can say it in two different ways, of somebody after hearing all the horror stories about mothers-in-law, the Shatkin says, you know, there's a girl, she's an orphan, he goes, I'll take her, right? Right? Or the other side of saying the same thing is, why do we say about the Shevet Brachot? We make a bracha and we say that this should be Gan Eden Mikedem. Why? What Gan Eden? Because Gan Eden, also, they didn't have a mother-in-law. But
the Kli Yakar, he doesn't say the joke, but he says this quite seriously. He says, if he marries somebody local, her family's going to be here. He's going to have to go to her for half of the Chagim. He's going to have to be, and he's going to be influenced by it. So therefore, better take somebody from the family, which again is the right family, but bring her away. Once he goes there, that's where the problem, again, he doesn't go and spell out everything I just now spelled out, but that's the concern. Once he goes over there, especially us understanding now what Yitzchak is really made of and how Yitzchak tries to make peace and he tries to bring people together and he has this ability of bringing people, even who are strange, of bringing together. So of course Yitzchak, if he goes there, is going to he's going to have them all sitting around in a circle and singing songs and being friendly. But the problem is, Avram is saying, but God took me away from that family. He separated me from them, which means marrying somebody from there is fine, but going back over there is a problem. And by the way, just think about the difficulty that Yaakov had extricating himself and his family once he did go over there. That didn't go as easy as possible. And maybe only after learning, right? I don't know if you ever consider this. Maybe only after learning how Yaakov ended up dealing with Esav was Rivka then a little more comfortable with sending him there. Okay, maybe Becholzot who there Echlistader. Right, he'll be able to deal with the love, and after he already has been dealing with Esav. But Yitzchak is somebody who is essentially an individual who wants to make peace between people. So wanting to make peace is a very good thing. But if you're at the very beginning of a nation, you're trying to start out, and you're trying to create an identity. So no, he needs to stay here. He needs to stay in this land. He can't go any place. He needs to stay over here. Rather, you bring somebody back, and then it will work out.